You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome aboard on a rainy Monday. It is the Gym Class here in KGYM at 4 minutes past the hour at 3 o'clock. Thank you very much for joining us today. Do appreciate it. We are presented by DePaco Community Credit Union each and every day right here on KGYM. You can check them out online at DePaco.com. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to their website at DePaco.com. More information available at our website as well at KGYMRadio.com. Got a great show coming up for you. We will look back at Iowa and Penn State, number 3 versus number 4 at the time, and get your thoughts about it. We'll talk about it as well as the Hawkeyes get the win by 3 coming from behind on Saturday at Araucus Kinnick Stadium. We will kick that around with you coming up in just a little bit. Talk about the college football weekend, the NFL weekend as well. 319-366-1600, that is our text line available to you. Again, at 319-366-1600. That is our phone number, text line as well. And I imagine a lot of interaction coming up with you, our listeners, and the fans out there today. And then thanks for tuning in, 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City. KGYM radio stream, KGYM mobile app. If you have not done so, please download it and listen in, and your smart speaker as well. Scott Udash with you, Ben on the other side of the glass. Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, joins me now from the southwest side of Cedar Rapids on this rainy Monday. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon, Scott. Good afternoon, everyone. Pleased to be with you again today and anxious to relive that Iowa-Penn State game and so much else that happened in college and professional football.
Yeah, no doubt. And baseball as well. We have baseball going on right now. We were scheduled to have two games going on, but it is only one game as the White Sox and the Astros. Game 4 has been postponed today due to rain. Raining big time in the Chicago area right now, and they made that announcement 3 hours ago, and I think a very good announcement indeed. Looking ahead to things, they will play game 4 of that tomorrow early afternoon, as it'll be just announced Carlos Rodon for the White Sox. He will get the ball against Lance McCullers, the game 1 winner, and that will be tomorrow early. Coming up later on here on KGYM, we have for you the Cyclone Sideline Show coming your way at 6:30. That'll be on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM for you. On the Jim OT, 107.5 FM and 106.3 FM, we will have NFL Monday Night Football coming your way, as it will be the Indianapolis Colts taking on the Baltimore Ravens and Monday Night Football tonight. And then later on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM at 8 o'clock, we will have baseball coming up for you. It'll be the Dodgers and the Giants in the pivotal Game 3 coming up tonight as the venue changes to Dodger Stadium. Right now, bottom of the 8th inning, it is Atlanta shutting out Milwaukee 3-0. And the Braves trying to take a 2-1 lead over the Milwaukee Brewers. Of course, yesterday, Boston in a very interesting game that we'll get to as well, because people are losing their minds over a call in that game. And quite frankly, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. But Boston with a 2-1 lead in that one. White Sox won last night to stave off elimination. It is now 2-1 in favor of Houston in that series. And again, game 4 of that one is scheduled for tomorrow. Game 4 of Boston and Tampa will be played early evening coming up tonight. So you want to stay tuned for that one. 319-366-1600, Mark. And holy buckets, there's a lot to talk about. But we got to start with Saturday at Kinnick Stadium in Iowa and Penn State. And fantastic ball game. Probably was not the heavyweight fight of 1985. You can look at it in a whole bunch of ways, and most people are today, Saturday, Sunday, even into today. Penn State fans looking at, oh, what if Sean Clifford did not go out of that game? Iowa fans saying that that's part of the game. He was knocked out. Backup quarterback couldn't get it done. Special teams did it again. And the Hawkeyes get the victory. And that is the bottom line as Iowa moves up to number two in the country this week.
Yeah, a lot of things to digest in this game. And you mentioned Clifford, and he went out, the Penn State quarterback, after a very successful first quarter, passing for 150 yards, running for a touchdown. And the whole complexion of the game changed when Jack Campbell hit Sean Clifford in the ribs and knocked him out of the game. And enter Taquan Roberson. First series, he was on the field. Fumbled snap. Three false starts. Did have one good drive later in the game. And I'm not here to say that Penn State would have won, maybe one going away, or if Iowa would have made some adjustments. Phil Parker make adjustments. But when Clifford went out, it was 17-3. And I don't think too many fans were all too excited about the way this thing was transpiring. Granted, before Roberson came on the field, Petras hit Charlie Jones for a touchdown pass. Great 11-play, 75-yard drive that made it 17-10 midway through the second. But you got to be blind to think that this game, the complexion of this game didn't change. I mean, a lot of the air went out of Penn State and right into Iowa. And the crowd. My goodness, the crowd deserved 5 stars for this one. Had a bunch of the day to get ready for it with Fox Big Noon show there. A great turnout. The crowd, the defense, the special teams. Former NFL punter Pat McAfee on his show said, Torrey Taylor for the Heisman. Maybe that's going a little far, but he impacted the game tremendously. Just a very, very interesting game that came out in Iowa's favor.
As Taylor's T-shirt says, punting is winning. He was a big part of that win, no doubt about it, because Roberson, you got to look at it two ways. Number one, just an amazingly difficult situation to come in for a backup quarterback. I don't care who you are. If you're NFL, if you're college, if you're high school, whatever the case may be, that it was just about the absolute worst case scenario that you could come into. And yeah, he had all kinds of problems, but in his defense, he's going up against one of the top defenses in the country. And number two, the poor kid had no field position thanks to the Iowa defense and Taylor pretty much for the entire second half. And that was a huge part of the victory. Just a huge part of the victory, because you're even with Clifford in there, your playbook is cut in half when you are inside your own 15-yard line. I mean, that's just football. That's just the way it is. Let's face it. Your playbook, you can't do what you can do at the 40-yard line or at the plus 30-yard line or whatever the case may be. You just can't do it. And especially when you have a hostile crowd and especially when you have a backup quarterback in there. Many heroes for the Hawkeyes. Taylor, we mentioned. Jack Campbell was terrific after Spencer Petras had his moments again. Had his moments where he missed some guys under duress. But much like 36 years ago, Mark, people still talking about not only the Rob Houtland kick, but the Larry Station hit. I know people 36 years from now, hopefully we're around, not going to guarantee it, are going to be talking about the play on first down that Brian Ferentz dialed up, where Petras found Nico Reganey wide open, absolutely wide open, and took it in for the touchdown that put the Hawks ahead. Kinnick Stadium, I have never heard it louder than it was on Saturday. It was absolutely deafening there. And it was deafening from the opening kickoff, from the flyover, all the way to the end. And kudos to the fans out there. They They get a big assist as well. If you had a, the fans would get a helmet sticker. For the, I will get, for the most part, we'll get to that coming up in a little bit.
Yeah, we're not going to get 67,000 helmet stickers and pass them out, but you're quite right about that, and you're quite right about Torrey Taylor. I mean, it happened on, you know, first play of for Penn State. Taylor had pinned Penn State at the two, and what happened? Seth Benson pressured Clifford, interception, Brents. Grand Iowa only got a field goal out of it. But that kind of set the tone of what Torrey Taylor did for the day. And I've heard many people say the same thing you did. You were there. I wasn't. That the volume at Kinnick Stadium was the loudest they've ever heard. And that's coming from a lot of folks who have been to many, many games. So no Cyclone Tim. I can only hope Mark didn't get knocked to the ground with this one. Nope, I wasn't there, Tim, as I was in 85. But, yeah, fans storming the field, big deal, great. That was a lot of fun.
It was. Comments coming in at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. Let's just start off by taking them here. 69-36. We'll start with this, with kind of a little tongue-in-cheek here. I heard Tom Brands got the fans fired up at halftime. Wonder if there's any video of that. I'm sure there's video. Yes, Brands came out there. I think it was early in the third quarter. Yeah, not a real big coincidence that the Iowa wrestling team was honored at the Penn State-Iowa football game, Mark. Wink,
no,
wink.
Not at all.
Yeah, that. Tom Brands had the microphone. He said something. The microphone system with 69,000 fans there is not the greatest. He mumble, mumble, bumble, blah, blah. We'll take anyone on anywhere, somewhere, blah, 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 blah. Roar, roar, roar. That's what I got out of it. And yeah, he got him fired up. Got him fired up. No doubt about that. You did not get knocked down. I did not go on the field. I was way too high in the stands to go in the field. Let's just take them here. 64-29. Let's start there on the text line at 319-366-1600. Next man in. The haters are always going to come up with reasons to talk down about Iowa or the style of football they play. Are we saying that we could beat Georgia or Bama? No. But our guys aren't scared of anyone, and it would be nice to see how our 2 and 3 stars would fare against their 4 and 5 stars. Well,
you may very well get a chance.
You may very well get a chance to see how that will play out. Iowa's going to be favored in every game from here on in, at least in the regular season, until the Big Ten championship game. If that happens, keep in mind, games are not played on paper. That's just the way it goes. 33-49, people are still down on the Iowa offense, but they will not see a better defense than Penn State's during the regular season. They will be okay.
That's so true. People were crying on social media about Petrus's play early in that game, and he wasn't good. He was 1 for 9. I get it. But this is a really good Penn State defense. They got 4 defensive backs who probably were playing the NFL. They had 1 defensive lineman, Mustafa, who went out early. Wasn't faking that injury. This is a really good defense that Iowa beat.
Best defense Iowa's going to play, with all due respect to Iowa State, et cetera, et cetera. This was the best defense Iowa was going to face all year. No doubt about that. 319-366-1600. Yeah, 69,000 plus tickets sold doesn't count, sideline passes, recruits, etc. Recruits are not doing a whole lot of banging the drum on the sideline, but we understand. I mean, it was loud. It was as loud as it has ever been at Kinnick Stadium. No doubt about that. 26-62, how do you explain the Clifford stay healthy? Hawk fans say we lose. Just can't think that way. That defense really amped up a lot in the second half, so who knows? Who cares? We go to Penn State or Purdue next. Yeah, you can't. I mean, it's part of football. Injuries are a part of football. I did think Iowa made some very good adjustments at halftime to try to stop Penn State as far as the quick tempo was concerned. But again, field position also dictated what Penn State could do. They couldn't go to that high-flying, quick-paced, up-tempo offense in the second half. They just couldn't do it. Iowa blitzed more, helped out, of course, by the field position, no doubt about that. But Phil Parker made adjustments at halftime.
Yeah, I'm not going to say in the Clifford situation whether Penn State or Iowa would have won. We'll never know. Yes, injuries do happen. But you're talking about going from a Sean Clifford to a guy with very little experience, Taquan Roberson, and it was miles different. And I think it injected a lot of energy into the Iowa defense. Folks, do you remember 2009 when Ricky Stanzi got hurt against Northwestern? You tell me that didn't impact the game? It did, and impacted the next one as well.
Mm. Yep. 319-366-1600. As Leo in Iowa City, it was so loud in the second half and on the winning touchdown that he was all the way by Carver on Hawkins, and it was like I was in the stadium. True. Very, very true. 86-83, I've not thought about this, but makes sense. Out of the six games that Iowa's played so far, five of the opposing starting cornerbacks did not finish the game. Now, that's not because of injury, per se, but, yeah. And 14-77, Penn State's offense put the quarterback in harm's way a lot. Simple risk-reward, and it bit them on Saturday.
Okay, I want to ask you, Scott. You were there.
Yes.
And Joel Klatt, who did the color commentary on television, referred to it, and that was the Penn State players going down. Now, they had three guys go down and not return, but there were others that went down, couple just for a play, and Iowa fans showered Penn State with a lot of boos, and James Franklin addressed it after the game, and he wasn't happy about it. You were there.
Yeah, I'm not happy about it either. I mean, that's the one negative about the game on Saturday was the booing. And I know we've got some people in the text line that are saying that, oh, another Penn State player went down. Look, Iowa does not run a big-time up-tempo offense. You can tell when a team is really, really stretching it and faking injuries. Michigan State. You go back to Mark D'Antonio and a couple of those seasons at Michigan State played Iowa, that was pretty obvious. But from the very first injury on Saturday, a lot of the crowd booing, and that's not right. That's not right. Three Penn State players went out, did not come back, and including Clifford.
The defensive tackle, Mustafa, went out in the Iowa's first series.
Absolutely. Did not come back. Did not come back for the rest of the game. Clifford did not come back for the rest of the game. And we had one of our texters say they may have been beat up beforehand. They may have been. They may have been. But, you know, Iowa's got guys that are playing right now with nagging injuries. Everybody's playing with nagging injuries as you get into the midpoint of October. It's not a good look. It's not a good look. And I have no idea why in the free world, everyone's booing when the ball falls off the tee. It was windy. I still am trying to fathom that one. Don't boo injuries. If a guy's running back to the sideline like Michigan State and then just falls over, fine. Have at it. But I didn't have a problem with Penn State. I didn't have a problem with it. So
82-17 was there. As you were, Scott, and 82-17 says, Those players took a dive to try and take the crowd out of the game, not because of tempo.
Well, they didn't take the crowd out of the game, I can guarantee you that. They got the crowd in to said game. There you go. There you go. That's what, hey, there you go. 319-366-1600. Coming your way here on a Monday edition of the Gym Class. I was too high in the stadium up in the third level of the north end zone. Spencer, you're my boy. Don't do that to me. Oh, yeah. Not that. No. Nothing like that. Again, your thoughts. Welcome at 319-366-1600. 6745's ears are still ringing. A couple people asking about Riley Moss. Riley Moss is not on the depth chart this week. Have not had anything official come out from Iowa football yet as far as Riley Moss is concerned. As right now, Terry Roberts is listed at number one. Xavier Williams is at number two this week. So to me, that says Riley Moss is not going to play in the game against Purdue. Again, no official word out as of yet from Iowa football. It was unfortunate. Let's just say that. You make a great play, and I got to think that Kirk Ferentz probably addressed the team on, you make a great play, we're going to go to the sideline now. Correct?
Yeah, it was kind of a misstep on Riley Moss's part after the interception, and in the process, it looked like he twisted his knee. That's not an official medical diagnosis, but yeah, Moss is out, at least in the depth chart anyway. Terry Roberts in. Monty Potterbaum, the really gaining a lot of respect around the country as a fullback, he got dinged up late in the game as well. Not sure of his status, but quite sure we'll learn more tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm sure we will. No doubt about that. 319-366-1600. I don't want to get into the booing. I mean, I'd rather get into the game more than the
booing. You already did.
Well, I know that, but I said my piece, and I'm moving on with it, and I'm sticking to what I said. If you've played football, you know injuries can happen. And it wasn't after every big Iowa play. It seemed that way, but again, some guys went out, never came back. Some went out, came back two plays, three plays later. And to paraphrase Kirk Ferentz, that's football. You try to find, and again, it wasn't Mark D'Antonio, Michigan State, laying down. That was obvious back in the day.
1776 on the text line, Scott. Maybe it has something to do with James Franklin crying injury whenever they lose a game.
Yeah, I can't control James Franklin. He wants to find a way. Iowa played a great second half. And came away with an amazing victory. Just an amazing victory in that game. 3:28. We're going to get to the Emil Sideaway scoreboard coming up here in just a little bit. And we will talk about baseball. We'll talk more about college football. Yes, 86-83. I did see, and you saw it as well, Mark LeVar Woods' his take on the injuries on the sidelines.
Yeah.
That was funny.
He feigned falling down.
That
one
was
of the
funny.
Penn State players fell down on the field.
That was funny. LeVar, you get an Oscar and an A+ for that. that was pretty amazing. We'll talk more about the Hawkeyes and the game and more coming up here in just a little bit. We need to get you to an Emil Sideaway scoreboard update, though. It's brought to you by Emil Sideaway. They're on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Lindale Mall. And next to the Home Depot and behind Taco John's. What do we have on the scoreboard today?
Speaking of Iowa football, Matt Hankins, a defensive back who made a critical stop late in the game, was named co-Big Ten Defensive Player of the Game this week. Congratulations to Hankins. Major League Baseball playoffs, Atlanta has taken a 2-1 lead over the Brewers in that series, winning 3-0. Only 5 hits for the Brewers today. Kansas City Chiefs are going to be without Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Scott, for a few weeks. An MCL strain.
Who? What team?
Yeah. Speaking of injuries, the Lakers' Talen Horton-Tucker out of Iowa State has a torn ligament in his right thumb. He's going to have surgery and be out for a while. Northern Iowa quarterback Will McIlvain has entered the transfer portal. He lost his starting job to Theo Day a couple 3 weeks ago, and today announced on Twitter he is available. And finally, Friday, Scott, it's number one Iowa against number two Michigan. Remember that game in 85? Well, it's going to be on the field hockey field this week, Friday, 2 p.m. in Iowa City. Number one against number two in field hockey.
Let's bring Rob Houtland back to like be the throw out the first
ball,
whatever. Let's do that. Let's get that taken care of for that game match coming up this weekend. 3:30. We're going to take a break. Come back. We'll talk a little bit more about Iowa and Penn State and more about the weekend that was in the world of sports. And we'll talk some baseball as well. Stay tuned. More to come. Gym Class for a Monday here on KGYM. We are presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Back with more after this.
Good morning, boss.
Yeah, what's good about it? We're having computer problems again, and we can't get our work done.
Call the help desk?
You mean the hold desk?
Huh?
Every time I call, they put me on hold. Or tell me someone will call me back in a couple of hours. We don't have a couple of hours.
We need to get our work done. We need help now.
In that case, you need to call IT Solutions. They don't have a help desk.
Then how do we get help?
IT Solutions continually monitors their clients' networks so they find and fix over 70% of their technology problems before they interrupt the workflow. If your current IT company says they do that, then why do they need a hold desk for you to call to tell them about your technology problems? With IT Solutions, on the rare occasions their monitoring misses something, when you call, you get help now, never a hold desk.
We need to get our work done.
Learn more online at WeNeedHelpNow.com.
WeNeedHelpNow.com.
It's almost weird how much you have in common and how hard you make each other laugh. After a lifetime of peopling, this one came along and that's it. Game over. Now you just have to find the ring and figure out how to ask. The Dickens family can help. Hertin and Stocker Jewelers has been helping proposers choose engagement rings for 70 years. There isn't a thing about diamonds, settings, styles, or metals they can't tell you. And if you think after thousands of happy couples they're so over it, you would be so wrong. At Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, your engagement is as exciting to them as it is to you. Well, okay, almost. It's a great day at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers when they know they've helped someone find the perfect sparkler. And with 7 decades of experience, they've got a heck of a track record with getting a yes. So, if proposing is on your mind, see what's sparkling in those famous windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then, step inside and talk to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
When you create some of the world's best windows and doors, you won't let just anyone sell them. You want window and door experts. That's why WeatherShield windows are only sold at local trusted independent dealers, not at big box stores. WeatherShield never compromises on quality, offering unparalleled value, energy efficiency, and expert craftsmanship. Alexander Lumber is proud to be a WeatherShield dealer. Visit them at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
3:33, back with you on the Gym Class here on KGYM as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour, marked before 4 o'clock today and all week here on the Gym Class. We have a great treat for our listeners out there. We have, for one of our listeners to win each and every day, we've got a Cedar Ridge Bourbon swag bag that we are going to be giving away each day this week, filled with $50 Cedar Ridge Winery and Distillery gift card, Cedar Ridge Distillery hat, and two glasses. Some great glasses in there as well. And, of course, where the corn grows, whiskey flows. They may have had to restock Cedar Ridge, I think, after Saturday and other. I am just going out on a limb for that. So, yeah, a lot of folks enjoying that Saturday down at Kinnick Stadium and outside of Kinnick Stadium. In Iowa City. Of course, award-winning Cedar Ridge Bourbon is made with locally grown Iowa corn from Winthrop, Iowa, the home of the East Buchanan Buccaneers up there. So you can go to kgymradio.com. We've got more information on Cedar Ridge Iowa Bourbon. We'll give that away coming up here before 4 o'clock today, Mark.
That sounds good. It's a great offering for from Cedar Ridge, and it's very tasty, I might say. But speaking of the Amos Hideaway scoreboard, I wanted to add a couple things there, Scott. Dave won a perfect 6-0 on the picks this week. Brian from Anamosa wins a $25 gift card to Amos Hideaway. Amos located out there on First Avenue East, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's. Open Monday through Saturday, every day for great food and drinks. And Iowa football lost a former quarterback, Tom Pohulski.
Yeah.
He was found dead in a Dallas hotel room while he was on vacation. And, of course, he played quarterback from 86 to 89 at Iowa. He was involved in that kickoff classic game against Tennessee in which Dan McGuire, Chuck Gottlieb, and Tom all played in that game. And Pohulski was a coach at Evergreen High School in Colorado, very involved in youth football and whatnot. His son is a starting quarterback for that team, and they decided to go ahead and play their game Friday night despite the untimely death of Tom Pohulski.
Yeah, very, very sad. Did not know Tom. I had a couple of classes with Tom back in the day. Seemed to be a very, very nice young man, and he certainly will be missed, and our condolences going out to his family. 336-319-366-1600. That is a text line. That's a phone line as well. Let's go to Jim from Cedar Rapids on this Monday afternoon. Jim, how you doing?
Good, Scott. Maybe this has already been brought up. I don't know. But as I was watching the Iowa game, the next to last possession that Penn State had, I think they were like on the 6-yard line. They were fourth down, 10 yards to go.
Yep.
They throw a pass and it's intercepted by Iowa. Remember that?
I do. And why intercept it?
Yes, that's my question. You know, I'm asking my two boys, my younger boys are at the game. And I said, I don't understand that. Why didn't he just knock the ball down? I would have had it on the 6-yard line, and the chances are they at least would have got a field goal out of the dang thing. But he intercepted, and I know his excitement and everything, it was great. But as you recall, Iowa ended up kicking the ball back to Penn State, and anything could have happened then. I just think that if he would have knocked it down, I would have been on the 6-yard line, first and goal. They probably would have scored. So I was just – nobody seemed to notice that.
No.
The commentators didn't say anything or anybody. And I'm thinking, what the heck? Am I just daydreaming this or what?
You bring up a very good point. In fact, the fine gentleman sitting next to me brought that same point up.
Then I'm not crazy.
No. But you know what? It, you're right. It's the heat of the moment.
Oh,
You have a chance to make the interception. Probably two out of 10 people would have knocked it down. It was the play.
Yeah, but you're right.
The play to make is to knock it down. You get the ball at the 6-yard line. All the scenarios that you have play out right there. You just and then Iowa doesn't have to kick the ball back to Penn State, even though there was, you know what, not very much time left.
Maybe it was just me that I was crazy. And then I saw the rerun on SportsCenter the next morning. And sure as heck, it showed the interception in that. And I'm thinking, well, then I've seen this. I just thought, logically, he should have knocked it down. But in the heat of the moment, the game, I mean, he intercepts the ball. I mean, that's great excitement for a young person like that. So
sure.
I was just wondering, you know, and am I going to take much more of your time, but a few years ago, two or three years ago, when Iowa played Mississippi State
Tampa, I believe.
Yeah, it was in Tampa. And basically, Iowa had the ball, first down, not very, 2 minutes, like 30 seconds left. And what I'd never understood is they called a passing play three straight times, every pass incomplete. The Mississippi State got the ball back. And I don't know why Iowa didn't just use running plays. Usually they're fairly conservative about that. Run the ball three times and take some minute or some seconds off the clock. They never did that. And I was stunned. And then Mississippi State just about scored, but yep. It was called back because of something that Mississippi State player had something spearing or whatever. Do you remember that?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And
I'm saying, why? I don't get it. But anyway, go Iowa. I think great, great, great excitement and not a bad team at all. I mean, what the heck?
All right, Jim. Hey, appreciate the call.
Thank you so much.
319-366-1600 here on the pro. Go ahead, Mark.
Jim makes a good point, but in retrospect, it's an easy point to make, and I'm not here to criticize Jim, but as one of our texters said, it's instincts, and that's what Iowa does is intercept the ball. But Jim's right. It came with 2:13 left in the game. As you remember, Hankins got an unsportsmanlike conduct on that play.
Celebration penalty.
Pushing Iowa back further, but guess what? Iowa ends up punting. Torrey Taylor pins Penn State at its 8-yard line with 39 seconds left, and that essentially was game over.
Yeah. Let's go to John from Columbus Junction, our friend John down there. And good afternoon, John. How's everything in the South?
Everything is great. I will say that Hawkeye game was the best game over the weekend. It was good to see the Hawkeyes get punched in the mouth, and they responded like a team that might have some championship aspirations. I'm hoping maybe you guys can help me get a petition started now where we don't want the Hawkeyes being on the cover of Sports Illustrated magazine this
year. I don't think you're going to have to worry about that one.
Okay, well, I'm just thinking last time they were good, you know, this happened, Sports Illustrated. And I'm going to end the call saying it's kind of strange to see Iowa ahead of my Crimson Tide in the standings. Go Hawkeyes. Mm.
Thanks, John. 319-366-1600. Let's get one more here. Let's get Wally real quick before we get to some more here on the text line. Hi, Wally, go ahead.
Hi, this is a trivia question on what that guy just said. Who was the player on the front of Sports Illustrated, and what was his number?
Oh, back in the day?
When he said that Iowa was on Sports Illustrated, they showed a picture of a player. What was his name and what was his number?
Oh, I don't remember.
Let me shorten it up. Chuck Hartley, number 8.
That's
anyway,
a good bar. That's a good bar bet.
Yeah, I guess I had to start out beating my chest here. But here's another scenario. Okay, this happened in the first quarter. Penn State quarterback got trapped back there. I think it was 97. Who grabbed him by his legs? His knee went down. His knee touched the ground. He still held the ball in his hand. That was a plain out safety. I understand that. Coach Ferris probably thought we can score from 8 yards out. We did get a field goal out of it, but you got the best punt returner in the nation, I think. And plus, I think the wind was behind their back. That might have something to do with his decision. But when he kicks that punt like that high and out of the safety kicking situation, that leaves all kinds of blockers to help him out. And once he gets going, he's practically gone. I mean, he's faster than the wind. That's one point I wanted to make. I know the game's over and we won, and I'm not cursing Coach Ferentz, but that was what my little what I saw. As far as that pass dropping, knocking it down, that thing came in there 90 miles an hour and hit him right between the numbers. How are you going to get out of the way of something like that? But anyway, go Hawkeyes.
Thanks, Wally.
See you guys later. I'm still going to get that picture, Mark. I know right where it is. I'll send it to you, buddy.
All right, man.
Take care, man. All right.
319-366-1600 here on the Monday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Hey, before we get too far into this, Mark, want to let everybody know about the Double Z Bar and Grill over at 629 Ellis Boulevard Northwest in Cedar Rapids. It's your home for the NFL and college football. They were probably as loud as Kinnick. Well, not quite, but it was still loud in there. 17 big screens and the world-famous Big As Your Head tenderloin over at the Double Z Bar and Grill. And what to look for tonight? Would it be a little Monday night football between the Ravens and the Colts, which is a pretty tasty game on a Monday night, Mark?
It is. We've got a couple of outstanding baseball matchups as well, the Red Sox and Rays, and, of course, the Dodgers and Giants tied up 1-1 tonight as well. So that's one reason. The Double Z Bar and Grill has 17 televisions. You can sample a lot of sports action at that particular establishment. And as far as John in Columbus Junction talking about Iowa, he didn't want Iowa on the cover of Sports Illustrated. There is one scenario, though, Scott, and that has to do with our poll question day at KGYMRadio.com, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City, thanks to Steve Anderson and his team. Will Iowa spend any time at number one in either football poll this season? Yes or no? Well, Georgia plays Kentucky this week.
Yep.
But I read that Kentucky's got a couple defensive linemen out. Georgia favored big in that game. Georgia doesn't play Alabama in the regular season. I don't think so, but
weirder things have happened.
A&M took care of Alabama over the weekend, and who knows?
Yeah, and again, all these games have to be played. There's no doubt about it. You don't play them on paper. Iowa's going to be a favorite. There's no doubt about that. Minnesota's still a rivalry game. Purdue, you should win if you're the Hawkeyes, but Purdue has played Iowa tough a lot of times over the years, including at Kinnick Stadium. Nebraska's better. Nebraska is better. And it would do the hearts of the Husker Nation nothing better than to have Iowa 11-0 going to Lincoln on Black Friday and winning that game. You just got to play them. I mean, the oldest cliche in the book, you got to play them one at a time, et cetera, et cetera. And I know Kirk Ferentz and the Hawkeyes doing just that right now. 319-366-1600 as the texts continue to come in on the text line. Cajun Troy says, no, Georgia's winning the national championship. Pete tells us Ricky Stanzi was the last Hawkeye on the cover of SI. I have no idea. I don't know my SI history, to be honest with you. But we shall see. 319-366-1600 as folks coming up here. A lot of DJK 2009 Sports Illustrated. Holy cow.
Yeah, there were regional covers. Maybe there still are. I don't know. I haven't seen a print version of SI in a while. But
true. Very true. Yeah. Iowa State off this week. Last week, Iowa State in action at Kansas State coming up on Saturday. You and I, too many mistakes to beat North Dakota State up there. Panthers for 2.5 quarters played really, really well, toe-to-toe with the Bison, but just came out short. And a lot of people come out on the short end of things when you go up there. No doubt about that. Kittle was the last one in 2015, apparently. That's what Dwayne says. Yes, Wisconsin's not going to be easy, too, says 96-63. And 86-99 chiming in that Nebraska playing like nothing to lose will be tough. Yeah, this thing's not over yet, but, hey, enjoy it while you can is the bottom line right here.
No, I think the bye week after this Purdue game coming up on Saturday is probably at a perfect time. Maybe a more perfect time would be this week, but nevertheless, after Iowa Iowa, about 11.5, 12-point favorite over Purdue. Should Iowa squeeze by the Boilermakers, then it has a week off to prepare for road games against Wisconsin and Northwestern. And I think that's a perfect time for a bye week after this game this coming weekend.
Mike Carman's going to join us, by the way, on Wednesday, who covers Purdue for the Lafayette Journal and Courier. Talk Purdue football coming up on Wednesday. Looking forward to that. 319-366-1600. Yes, John at Columbus Junction has sent the picture, the cover, and it was Kittle. As he would know, John at Columbus Junction would know if it was Kittle.
Big 49er fan, that's right.
Indeed, indeed. 319-366-1600. We are going to step aside. We'll take a break. Going to give you an opportunity right now to win our first Cedar Ridge Bourbon Swag Bag, where the corn grows, the whiskey flows. Cedar Ridge, Iowa, straight bourbon whiskey. And like I said, probably had to restock after the weekend, especially after Saturday, the good folks at Cedar Ridge down by Swisher. 319-366-1600. We're going to take caller number six, Ben. 319-366-1600. If you've been a winner over the last 30 days, please do not call in. Otherwise, you're eligible. We will have this swag bag all week right here on the Gym Class. $50 Cedar Ridge Winery and Distillery gift card, a Cedar Ridge Distillery hat, and two glasses, fine glasses out there in the swag bag. Again, 319-366-1600. We'll take a break, come back, have a little bit more of the Monday edition of the program. And we'll do it right after this.
In the game of business, it's all about who gets in and who doesn't. Because you have important things to protect, like equipment, your building, and people's information. Level up your security with Network Computer Solutions. They're experts at keeping your data safe, and they can also keep your physical space safe. From camera systems and door access to 24-hour video surveillance, NCS will customize a system for the way you work. Network Computer Solutions, keeping your building, your equipment, and of course, your data secure. Visit ncsei.com.
Save today on your next project with 11% off everything now at Menards. Save on Chamberlain garage door openers. Smart garage door openers feature built-in Wi-Fi that allow you to open and close your garage door from anywhere. Get a half-horsepower Wi-Fi belt drive opener for $129.99 after 11% rebate. Get 11% off everything now at Menards. Good through October 16th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey, why are everybody's leaves out?
Leaf vacuum day, buddy.
How do you guys all know this?
It's right on my phone. See?
Huh. Nothing's on my phone.
Well, you're signed up at crnewsnow.com, right? That's how the city of Cedar Rapids lets you know.
Don't they just sign me up automatically or something?
No. You actually have to sign up at crnewsnow.com. It takes like 3 minutes.
No more missed leaf day. I like it.
Fall leaf vacuum collection continues through December 10th. Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up at crnewsnow.com.
And we are back with you here in the Gym Class on KGYM. Ben will let us know who our winner is coming up here. But thanks to everybody for calling in. Do appreciate it. We will have Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday all week long more Cedar Ridge Bourbon giveaways. So tune in for that here on the Gym Class program right here on KGYM. Cal Eldred is going to join us to talk baseball tomorrow. It is now a final. The Braves have shut out the Brewers 3-0, and the Braves take a 2-1 lead as far as that National League Series is concerned. We have tonight for you Game 3 between the Dodgers and the Giants from Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles. That will be at 8 o'clock on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM. Also tonight a little bit earlier on, it'll be the Rays and the Red Sox in Game 4. White Sox, Astros were postponed today. They'll try it again coming up early afternoon tomorrow. We'll also have the Cyclone Call sideline show for you at 6:30, 1600 and 102.3 FM. And Monday Night Football, Indianapolis and Baltimore tonight at 6:30 on the Gym OT 107.5 FM and 106.3 FM. One of the things we'll ask Cal about tomorrow, we've had several people inquire about it on the text line, and that is the crazy play yesterday at Fenway Park between the Rays and the Red Sox that, yes, quite frankly, did cost the Rays a run. But I don't know how in the world you could have interpreted a different way. Here's the scenario if you did not see it. Runner on first, I believe. Long drive to right center field. And if you're a baseball fan, you know that it is a 3-foot-high fence in front of the two bullpens over in right field in Fenway Park, Mark. The ball hit off the ground, off the fence, off the outfielder, and then went into the bullpen, off of the fielder. Now, if the ball during its flight would have hit the outfielder and gone into the bullpen without hitting the ground, it is a home run. We're all in agreement with that. That is the rule. There is really no rule as far as baseball is concerned when the ball is in play, hits the fence, hits a runner, and then goes across over the fence. They called it a ground rule double. I really don't know what else they could have called it. I mean, your right fielder can't jump. I mean, he can, but he's not going to go jump the fence. How do you know he's going to pick up the correct ball with all the baseballs in the bullpen? I mean, it was a bad break for Tampa Bay. I agree.
Well, it's a correct application of the rule, and it's something you don't see just every day, maybe once in a few years. I don't know. But I think the confusion on the part of fans, including myself, was the fact that we haven't seen this very much. And isn't it strange that earlier in the series, Nelson Cruz hit a home run without hitting it out of the park at all?
Correct.
It hit the catwalk. It was a bomb. There's no question about it. It probably would have gotten out. But some strange things happening in this series.
There have been. and then you've got, I thought the most fun part about the weekend, and the only thing that made me laugh while watching the Chiefs game last night and keeping tabs in the White Sox game was the fact that Yasmani Grandal going down the line at first base, 5 feet inside the line, making sure he got hit by the thrown ball by Gurriel. And A.J. Pierzynski, like, clamming up in the announcer's booth.
Yeah.
You and I can both laugh, Mark, because we both had A.J. Pierzynski on our favorite teams.
We did.
And A.J. would have done exactly the same thing, probably would have done it even worse.
Probably did do it several times. I don't know.
Oh, there was a reference to him, so that was pretty cool. I thought that was interesting. 319-366-1600. More on Iowa-Penn State coming up on the Todd Brommel Camp Show with Alex Kuhn. They'll also chat with John Walters, play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones. Iowa State back in action on Saturday night. That is a game down in Manhattan. It is Farmageddon, and Kansas State will be the host this year. That will be a 6:30 kickoff, 4:30 with the pregame coming up on Saturday on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM. Could talk about Iowa-Penn State for a long, long time, Mark, and we'll continue to talk about it with Todd and Alex. It was one for the record books in the history books, certainly Saturday at Kinnick Stadium.
It was and won't soon be forgotten. And in a few years, there will be 300,000 people who attended the game, right?
Absolutely. We've got our winner, if I can read this here, is Brittany from Cedar Rapids. Thank you, Ben. She was the winner. I assume she was a winner of our first Cedar Ridge Bourbon giveaway. As I mentioned, we've got football, baseball, the Cyclones Sideline Show coming your way tonight. Cal Eldred will join us coming up tomorrow to talk Major League Baseball playoffs. And, of course, we'll find out more about Riley Moss and the Hawkeyes from Kirk Ferentz coming up tomorrow as well. Iowa Men's Basketball Media Day going on as we speak. And apparently the big story coming out is the fact that everyone calls Jordan Bohannon Grandpa. Go figure. All right, Mark, good show. We'll do her again tomorrow.
Sounds good. Talk to you then.
You've been listening to The Gym Class, presented by DePaco Community Credit Union.
At Shell, we know from the time you get up to the time you wrap up, there's a lot of meetups, eat-ups, and hurry-ups. So come to Shell and get three things done at once. Fill up with Shell V Power Nitro.